it's truly a beautiful thing knowing that there are some who are coming back to church today after some time away. It is so good that you are here with us, starting this Advent season, this season of preparation for the celebration of the birth of the Lord. It's so fitting that we be together at the beginning of this new liturgical year. So welcome back those who are coming back to church after a while. It's good that you're here. It's good that we are together today. The gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent is about the second coming of the Lord. We profess our belief that the Lord is coming back. We profess our belief every time we recite the creed. And we profess our belief that our Lord indeed is coming again to judge the living and the dead. The scripture reading is about being prepared for the coming of the Lord. Our Lord says, "Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." What are these tribulations that are to come? The church teaches in the Catechism about these tribulations. I quote from the Catechism, "Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of sin and evil in the form of a religious deception, offering people an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, and by God's triumph over the revolt of evil that will take the form of the last judgment after the final upheaval of this passing world. And thus we know the end of the story. We know that God will be victorious over the forces of evil that will cause great tribulation on earth. God will not leave his faithful ones abandoned. God will look after those who believe in him, and he will rescue them. When will this happen? Christians have been asking that question for 2,000 years. When will the Lord come in glory? Perhaps these tribulations that precede the coming of the Lord are already happening. Perhaps we are in the last days. I'm not saying that we are, but perhaps these are the last days. What with all that is going on in this crazy world of ours, all that is transpiring in the nation we love so much, all that is happening in our beloved church. Confusion, chaos, systems that we count upon being overwhelmed, the supply chain, the borders, welfare rolls and unemployment rolls pushing us to bankruptcy, inflation, apostasy and scandal at the highest levels of our church. I could go on and on, but you can find another example. We all can, when we look in the mirror and see someone looking back at us who could be doing a lot better, who could be much more vigilant, much more on top of things, much more zealous about learning the Lord's will and putting it into practice. Our Lord teaches us to be vigilant, to be prepared for what is to come. How do we do this? We can take a cue from those who are writing and blogging a lot these days about being prepared for natural emergencies. Whether it might be an emergency caused by a big blizzard like the one we had in 1978, or whether it might be a disaster that causes us trauma for a longer period of time. Those preppers advise us to think about three things to prepare our households for an emergency. The preppers say that, first of all, we have to have certain things. We have to make sure that we have a good supply of bottled water and canned food, candles, perhaps a generator. We need to have things that will see us through the difficult time. Second, we have to be strong physically and mentally and emotionally to weather the storm, whatever it might be. And third, we have to be prepared to help others. Perhaps the elderly neighbor who won't be able to fend for himself or herself. The preppers tell us to pay attention to these three things, and we can follow that same path as we strive to be vigilant for the times that are to come. First of all, by making sure that we are storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven, and that we are not foolish, like the man that Jesus spoke about, the foolish man who tore down his barn so that he could build a bigger barn to hold all of his earthly possessions, not knowing that that very night his life would be required of him. He was foolish. He was paying attention to those things that really aren't worth much in the long run. We are called to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, to turn away from the foolishness in our lives, to turn away from the sinfulness in our lives, to repent of our sins, to turn back to the Lord through the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, to receive his forgiveness and to receive the grace that will help us to do better, the grace that will help us to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven, the treasures that moth cannot destroy, nor rust tarnish, nor thief steal away, those treasures that are worth far more than silver or gold. Store up treasure in heaven to be prepared. Second, we must be strong spiritually. And the way that we gain strength spiritually is through prayer and through devotion and through doing difficult things like fasting and works of penance, those things that will sharpen our mind to be more attentive to God's will, those things that will help us to be strong to put God's will into practice in our daily living. We are called upon to be strong precisely by drawing near to God's holy word, listening to him each and every day, and by participating in the sacramental life of the church through which we receive the grace that we need to be truly strong to face whatever is ahead. And finally, we need to be thinking about others, especially during these difficult days. We need to be thinking about those in our circle of friends, those at work, those at school, those around us who have a very shallow or even a non-existent spiritual foundation. Perhaps they grew up in a home where faith was not important. There are many people today, people we run into all the time, who do not have the foggiest idea about what our Catholic faith is about. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know that he was born in Bethlehem and he died on the cross, that he gave his life to save us from our sins, and that he and he alone is the way to everlasting life, that he is the one that we are to follow if we have any chance at all of living forever in happiness in heaven. They don't know. And how will they come to know about Jesus except through those people that they know already and they trust? And so the next time we are in a conversation and a coffee clutch and the subject of how bad things are in the world comes up, the next time people start talking about the trouble that we're in our country or our church, this is the time, this is the moment to make a statement about faith. This is the moment to say, yep, I agree with all of that. We're in a heap of trouble, but I have a rock. I have a Savior. I know the Lord, and I find him through his holy word, and I find him through the sacraments that he instituted. I find him right here in this church. And I wouldn't be worth much of anything without my faith, without my Catholic faith. Won't you come and see? Won't you come and see and find in the church our Savior? Find the peace that this world cannot bring. The peace that he offers to everyone. Our doors are wide open. Come and see. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to be of assistance to our neighbors who will truly be in trouble without a good, solid spiritual foundation, without deep spiritual roots that will save them from the troubles ahead. We have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to be looking after our neighbors. The beautiful season of Advent gives us a time to prepare, a time to get ready. Yes, to get ready for the celebration of our Savior's birth, that is important, but more importantly, to get ourselves ready for the tribulations that precede the second coming of our Lord. As you came into church, you were given a card like this. It's blank. It's meant to be filled out. I want you to be thinking about what you will be doing between now and Christmas. to store up treasure in heaven, to get stronger, and to be looking out for your neighbor. I want you to write these things down. You don't put your name on it. You don't have to put your name on it. There's a basket in the narthex after Mass. You can put them in the basket, and we will then collect them and put them underneath the statue of our Blessed Mother. And we will ask her intercession to help us poor sinners as we strive to get to know Jesus better, as we strive to put our trust in him and to share him with those we meet. I encourage you to write down the things you're going to do to prepare and to put those in the basket, and we will entrust our great aspirations to the Mother of God, who seeks only to show us the face of her Son.